my name is Sam Clement, and welcome to this mini edition of the Picture House podcast. Today, my colleague Karina Entrebus is going to have a chat with directors Julie Cohen and Betsy West about their new film, RBG, which is in cinemas right now and having special screenings at Picture House on Tuesday, the 8th of January. RBG is a documentary about Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And it sounds like Karina had such a good chat with these directors. And also, the film is getting rave reviews in cinemas right now. And it's quite important homework for another film, which is coming out later in the year, On the Basis of Sex, which is a narrative film starring Felicity Jones as a young Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So the pair of them will make for quite a neat double bill. Anyway, that's enough waffle from me. I'm going to pass over to Karina, who had a great chat with Julie and Betsy about RBG in cinemas right now.
Welcome to the Picture House podcast. We are thrilled to have you here and so excited to show RGB, your wonderful documentary, which I absolutely loved, in cinemas, all of them, all 25 of them. Let me get you to introduce yourselves.
I'm Julie Cohen, one of the director producers of RBG.
And I'm Betsy West, the other director producer of RBG.
Tell me a little bit about how you guys met and how this whole project came about.
Well, actually, we met, you know what, about 8 years ago when we were working on a project about the modern women's movement, kind of a definitive history of many of the groundbreaking women in the United States in the 1960s and 70s who worked in the women's movement. And that's really when both Julie and I learned about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I mean, we knew that she is the second woman on our U.S. Supreme Court where she's served for the past 25 years. We had absolutely no idea that as a very young lawyer in the 1970s, she argued a series of cases before our Supreme Court, which literally changed the world for American women. She argued on behalf of gender equality, something that just hadn't been done before.
Her argument was that under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, men and women should be considered equals under the law. It's something that she fought in a series of six cases before the Supreme Court in the 70s when she was the head of something called the Women's Rights Project. It seems, in retrospect, like a fairly natural idea at the time that she started advancing this. It was really a radical notion.
So you said that you only actually, like, you knew of her, but you didn't know exactly what the significance of her. I think that's what's so interesting and so rewarding for myself as well, because I think there's a lot of people who share that sentiment of going, oh, there's that woman and she's, you know, that little woman, she's got glasses and I think she does like jewelry stuff, maybe.
She's on the internet. We're always seeing pictures of her. People dress up like her. Yeah. They have tattoos of her. Why?
Yeah. And she's been immortalized in this cultural icon, which obviously alludes to the name RGB, which is notorious B.I.G. I thought what was so interesting about the documentary is that it really blew apart any ideas or assumptions that you might have had of her being a very powerful woman, being in a Supreme Court justice, the ultimate power. So I thought, oh, she's going to be this battle axe and mean old lady. But it really doesn't. The film really shows her at home as a caring, compassionate, thoughtful, measured woman. And that's what I absolutely loved about the film. But did you have any assumptions yourself of her before you met?
Well, I think we understood that she is a powerful woman. She's very formidable. She's kind of an introvert. She's a shy person. And maybe that's what makes her even more formidable in a way, because she's not a chatty person, let's say. But the fact is that she is very thoughtful, very warm, and actually really kind of funny. I think what we tried to do was expand on her reputation as the notorious RBG, you know, this tough, speak truth to power person who is known primarily in the United States for the very stinging and forthright dissents which she has written to Supreme Court decisions that are considered conservative. As our Supreme Court has become more conservative, she has become the voice of dissent. That's how people know her, as Notorious RBG. And our film expands on that, tries to explain who she is as a person, tells a love story, and also goes into the history that we talked about of, you know, what she did. Even if she hadn't become a Supreme Court justice, she really had earned a place in history for what she did arguing on behalf of women's rights.
And did you have any assumptions yourself? I mean, did you meet her before you decided to do the documentary, or was it the other way around? Which
we had met her previously. Betsy and I had each interviewed her for previous projects. And she's out there in the public to a certain extent. She gives a lot of talks and speeches at law school. But what we had seen was sort of the image, this, you know, serious intellectual force, not so much a human being, someone who's also has a story that includes warmth and romance and a lot of humor. And, you know, the joy for filmmakers is bringing a person to life and getting people to know the human being behind the icon. And that was really the fun of telling this story.
And how did you manage to get that much access? Because there is a real, you know, it's intimate without being exploitative, and you've done a real good job of showing her home life and all the dynamics and the complexities of her relationship with her daughter and her son and her husband. Talk to us about that process of getting that level of comfortability.
Well, there's never before been a documentary about a Supreme Court justice, so we approach this very carefully, very deliberately, really a step by step. We didn't go in there and say, hey, Justice Ginsburg, we'd like to do a documentary about you, interview everybody and film you at home and film you working out in the gym. And we didn't sort of approach it that way. It was more respectful that we wanted to do a documentary about her extraordinary history. And then we started filming and doing interviews with people who have known her across the generations and following her around the country at these various speeches. And she got used to us doing that. And then eventually we did ask her for some of the more personal and intimate scenes that you see in the film, her talking to her granddaughter after her granddaughter's graduation from law school and discussing the differences between her experience in law school when she, you know, was one of 9 out of 500 at Harvard Law School. Her granddaughter just graduated, you know, it's 50-50 women. That's a huge change in our society, partly because of what Ruth Bader Ginsburg did as an advocate on behalf of women. So we captured that scene. And then, of course, the scene of her working out in the gym. She had talked about her workout routine before, something she started after her first bout with cancer. And, you know, it'd been kind of legendary. We weren't quite sure. Is it true? Can she do boy push-ups? Can she plank? And sure enough, she can.
Yeah, in America, her workout routine had become something of a legend. She had mentioned it in some public settings, and journalists had started to write about it. A young male journalist had written a story saying, I did Ruth Bader Ginsburg workout routine and it nearly broke me. And everyone was amused by that, but kind of took it as a bit of a joke, like, oh, it's really not possible that, you know, this 28-year-old journalist is having trouble doing the exercise routine of a woman in her 80s. Like, is it? But in fact, when ultimately, after about a year of filming, when we asked if we might be able to accompany her into the gym to film the workout routine, she surprised us by saying yes. And there were Betsy and I crouched in a corner of a gym in the apartment complex where she lives, watching her go through her paces with a level of determination and muscularity that was way, way beyond our expectations.
I think she puts us all to shame just a little bit. Did she need much direction? Was she quite natural in front of the camera?
Oh, my goodness. You know, both Julie and I have a lot of experience filming scenes and, you know, working on stories. We've never seen anyone who was more at ease. I think it's partly because she's very focused and she's very determined. And when she's doing something, she just does it, doesn't get distracted. So if, for example, she's meeting with her granddaughter to go over graduation pictures and have some tea, that's what she does. The fact that there's a couple camera crews there hanging around, she just completely ignored them. Similarly, when we went to the gym, the crew, everybody's all set up. She walked in, she was wearing the most amazing outfit, this workout outfit that on the front said Super Diva. Yeah. When Julie and I saw it, we were just amazed. But she didn't look at us. She didn't look at the camera crew. She just paid attention to her trainer. She's there to work out now. It's her workout town. That's what she's going to do. And, you know, her clerks and her colleagues tell us that that's the way she's been really all her life. She's an extremely focused, determined, and efficient person. That's why she's been so successful as a lawyer and as a jurist.
I can absolutely tell. She's wonderful. So has she seen it? And how did that go down?
Yes. So Justice Ginsburg came and saw the film for the very first time at its world premiere at the Sundance Film Festival. It was a really exciting experience for us as filmmakers, but also a nerve-wracking one because here she was in a room full of 500 people where she was about to see for the first time kind of our interpretation of her life. Betsy and I were sitting right across the aisle from her. We stared at her through the entire film, and we are very pleased to report that she was just thoroughly absorbed in the story. She was visibly amused and laughed out loud a number of times, including sort of at, you know, she's quite humorous in the film and makes some witty barbs, and she even enjoyed her own humor. And she also got quite emotional. There's some scenes involving her relationship with her late husband that provoked an emotional response. And she surprised us with how strongly she responded to scenes of her watching an opera. She's a huge arts and opera lover. And in the screening of the film, when she saw herself watching a love duet and talking about how deeply music moves her, that scene made her pull out a tissue and start to cry.
It's so funny because I actually had the pleasure of watching On the Basis of Sex yesterday. Mm-hmm. And exactly what you've just said about her watching it for the first time was exactly what Mimi Ledger said. She said she watched the film with Ruth, and she just watched, she didn't watch the film, she watched Ruth throughout the whole thing and just watched all her reactions. But it's funny that there's, or is it? I don't know. There's two films about Ruth. One documentary and obviously one narrative starring Armie Hammer and Felicity Jones. But why now? What's the fascination now? What's this?
Well, maybe it's about time. You know, she is an extraordinary figure in American history and probably underrecognized for what she did in the Supreme Court. I mean, you know, she's the legal architect of the modern American women's movement. She accomplished a tremendous amount. And, you know, it was known in some circles, but really not widely understood. So I think, you know, hey, why not? When we started working on our documentary 3 years ago, the screenplay had already been written and the plans were in the works to make the feature that you just saw. In the ways of Hollywood, there were some hiccups and change of cast and director and everything else. So it took a while. We thought it might be finished before our film, but in fact, we were done last fall just as they were beginning filming. So, you know, they overlapped. And I think they're kind of complementary stories. The, as you've seen, On the Basis of Sex is about her early years, her marriage and her career, just getting started as a women's rights litigator. And, you know, ours, I think, is a somewhat more sweeping look at her entire life and her legacy.
I totally agree. I think it's so interesting to see both of these films in the same week for myself. And I think they absolutely complement each other. Whereas On the Basis of Sex will lay the foundations. You guys really go in deep and wide and add the complexity of the rest of her career, because it isn't just this one case that caused her to be such a legendary figure. Have you seen it yet?
We've read the screenplay. We're looking forward to seeing the film coming up soon.
I think it's great to have these two. I mean, obviously, to have somebody who has had such significant change for women in America and then the world, and it just seems like a very good time right now as well, what with the political climate in America, to have a focus on somebody that's created so much change, who is so against what you normally see as somebody who is in a position of power. So I think it's incredible.
Yeah, and I think, as you refer to, our political landscape definitely informs the way people have received our film in terms of, you know, the Me Too movement, Time's Up, taking a look at the kind of discrimination that she faced and how she met that challenge, what she did very strategically to fight back against, you know, just overwhelming odds, not losing her temper, thinking, you know, playing the long game. And, you know, obviously her devotion to our judicial system, to our, you know, democracy, the three branches of our government, I think has particular resonance right now in America. The audiences have responded favorably. And also, you know, she also had a an ability to talk across the aisle, you know, to have friendships with her ideological opponents and to be able to have discussions about their differences of opinion, not just everybody in their corners screaming at each other, but really not afraid to engage in the issues. That's something else that I think people admire about her.
Absolutely. I that's certainly one of the takeaways that I took from that, in that she had such diplomacy and she was able to see all the sides of the coin. But I guess that's what makes somebody good at being a lawyer. What's the most fascinating thing that you discovered about Ruth, and what do you hope people take away from this film after seeing it?
I think we really want people to take two things away from the film, one mental and one emotional. We want people to come away really having a better sense of how women's rights were secured in America, not just the protests out in the street, which were important and made some difference, but also the slow, strategic, deliberate legal planning and work of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and some of her colleagues, and what a key role that played in the advancing of women's position in the U.S. And aside from that, we want them to feel what we felt learning her story more deeply. We wanted you to feel the power of this important human being and feel pretty inspired by everything from her determination to fight the bigotry that she herself faced as a young woman, being like pretty harshly discriminated against at a time when women in the legal world just weren't welcome, to the determination that she continues to carry out her work now, and even that goes right into her planking. Like it's all part of the same character, and there's something really deeply satisfying and uplifting about getting suffused in that story.
Justice Ginsburg is at the heart of a deeply optimistic person, and there she is right now. She'd probably like to be writing majority opinions on our court, but the court has become more conservative, and yet she embraces her role to write in dissent when necessary, to lay down the foundations of what she thinks is important: equal rights, vote for women, for minorities, LGBT, voting rights. These are important foundational beliefs that she has, and she's going to continue expressing those views, whether it's for now or for history. She does not seem to be slowing up. I mean, that's the other thing. You know, we gasped 3 weeks ago when she fell down and broke three ribs, but, you know, she was back at work reading cases, you know, the next day. She went into the court that next week, and next thing you know, she's off at an opera. She went to the White House for a ceremony for some friends of hers, both of whom actually happened to be Republicans who she had strong friendship with. She's still back at it, determined to do the job that she loves.
I think we can all learn a thing or two.
For sure.
And what's next for you guys? Are you doing any other projects together or individually?
We are doing other projects together. And while we're not giving specifics of those yet, we can tell you that they involve women whose stories we feel like America and the world needs to hear more about.
Good. I'm very, very, very excited. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. It's really fascinating. Your documentary is wonderful, illuminating, enjoyable, and it's a real human story. So thank you so much for it. We can't wait to show it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're so happy that it's going to be here in the UK.